Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Line drive, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial around first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Try Brower. The former block up has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. Our producer extraordinaire, Brian Hoffman, has lined up a really, really fine program today. We're going to talk with Chris Kerber about 1025 Blues Hockey. Then basketball royalty, a rare interview with the all-time leading scorer at the University of Missouri, the one and only Derek Chivas, who's going to have his number retired February 19th, down in Columbia. It'll be against Kentucky. What a special moment for Derek and his family. And also, we're going to talk college sports with one of the best in the business, Pat Forty. Martin Kilcoyne will join us at 11 o'clock. If you'd like to be a part of the program, Maryville University listener line, 855-282-8255. Winning streak text line, 855-282-8255. There's a lot of ridiculous rule changes going on in Major League Baseball, and I think on lap six, I'm going to say what the proposed change is, and the three of us will say, good idea, bad idea. I got a feeling most of these are going to be bad ideas. All right, our opening monologue is brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park, and let's begin with lap one. The Cardinals will be on the field next week at this time. In fact, I just talked to the commish. He's at the airport. He's flying down as we speak. They have the face of the franchise player in Paul Goldschmidt. They have the knockout bullpen closer slash eighth inning guy in Andrew Miller. They have more depth on the pitching staff than a Dennis Miller monologue. And they may have the best defense up the middle they've had in a long time. You know about Yadier Molina, arguably the greatest defensive catcher of all time. We saw Harrison Bader play the best defense in center field since Jim Edmonds. But what about that infield combo, Paul DeJong and Colton Wong, who manager Schultz says could both be gold glovers? Mike Claiborne has watched them a little bit already in Florida.
Last week, Oquendo was hitting ground balls to Colton Wong and Paul DeJong. You know, I bet he hit them 1,000 balls. And they just work on double play and just balls in the hole and where they want to be. I, you know what, Frank, we're going to be really good up the middle. I mean, you know, Yadi obviously speaks for himself, but I think DeJong and Wong will really develop the chemistry I think we all saw from time to time. And, you know, Harrison Bader has established himself as a more than above average center fielder. If he can hit, he's going to be really one of the more premier players. So defensively, we're going to be solid up the middle.
So the question is this, and it's really the only question, and I know the Brewers are out there, but is this roster, if you put it all together, all 25 guys heading north to St. Louis, are they as good as the Cubs? How about the words of Bob Nightingale from USA Today?
I think it's very close. You know, and throw the Milwaukee Brewers in there. I think the three teams are probably, you know, within five games of one another in terms of talent. You know what they, you know what, St. Louis needs to, or what the Cubs need to do is just stay healthy. I mean, they need you Darvish to bounce back. They need a Jason Hayward to step up, Kyle Schwarber to have a strong year. So, you know, we'll see. They have to have some more things go right. And Brewers, we'll see if they can, you know, have the same magical season as they did a year ago. And the Cardinals are right there. And, you know, may come down to just whoever makes the best trade at the deadline.
Lap two. Gateway Motorsports Park opening monologue. I don't think the DH will be in the National League this season. You never know what could happen, though. But I don't think it's happening this quickly. But most believe it's going to happen. It'll be there next season. So with that said, a word to the Cardinals. Don't trade Jose Martinez. I mean, if the DH is coming to the National League, because that guy in that role making that money is the best buy since the all-you-can-eat Mondays at the Pasta House. Nobody could give you more value and be a better person. Since 2017, and this is a Brian Hoffman rare gem of a stat, do you realize that he has a higher OPS on-base plus slugging than Manny Machado, who's trying to get a $300 million contract? He's a more productive offensive player than Manny Machado over the last 2 years? You know how much Jose made last season? $560,000. You know how much Manny Machado is going to make this year? He could make $25 million. Now, I don't know if he's going to get the $300 million, but his average salary, whatever contract he signs, could be way up there. He is still, Jose Martinez, still pre-arbitration. And Brian, so that means that you can control him for a while, right?
He's got 4 more years of control then, yes.
Brian, do you believe that this guy's out of central casting to be a DH for the Cardinals?
Well, we were saying that if you have to trade him, it'd probably be to an American League team just for that very purpose. So yeah, he could DH. But yeah, that's maybe a nice little benefit of keeping him. If the DH is adopted, you have the guy who can play that role.
Heck, if the DH comes, you should never trade the guy. He'll hit for average, 300 the last 2 years. He'll hit for power, hit in the clutch. I love what Mike Schilt told us a few weeks ago. And I'm not sure if he told me this on TV or if he told us this on radio. But he said, I'd rather have a bunch of right-handed hitters who can hit than a lefty who can't. You know, we're so obsessed. We got to have a lefty off the bench. Well, it'd be nice, but I'll take Jose Martinez rather than a spray-hitting left-handed pinch hitter, okay? Because he can hit right-handers just fine. All right, lap 3. The evolution of the game of basketball. Now, when I was in high school, back in the dark ages, if we played CBC, who was a fine ball club, there would be 3 dunks in the game. 2 by Stepanovich and 1 by Joe Washington, their 6'5 center. That's what would happen. In fact, we were just talking with Doug Vaughn, who played basketball in the mid-70s, way before my time, with Kirkwood, and he played with this great player by the name of Drew Rogers. He had the nickname Drew Franchise Rogers. He used to play against my brother Doug, who played at Ladue. And boy, I used to watch him like, oh my gosh, this guy walks on water. So Doug, on the way out, just said, I don't know if I ever saw Drew Rogers dunk a basketball. He was a 6'5 center. So last night, and this is why I bring this up, Vachon and CBC. Now, if anybody was at the game and actually counted the dunks, I would love to know. But it was a dunk fest. It's just insane the athleticism of these 16, 17, and 18-year-olds. Nobody, like, goes and tips the ball back in. No, they grab it with 2 hands, 4 feet outside the cylinder, and then they ram it home. Cameron Fletcher, Vachon, about 6'7", he's got a chance to be a pro. He will be a pro, coach told me last night after the game. Mario McKinney plays so doggone hard. He's tomahawk dunking. Mizzou's recruited a kid with great heart. Now, he's going to have to shoot the ball better because he's not a point and he's not a 2, or he's going to have to play 2. But, man, he's got a good heart. I like players who play with that kind of passion. Duke was there. Chris Carriwell was there. Not sure if they've offered Fletcher, but that's why they were there. SLU was there. Travis Ford, Corey Tate. Mizzou was there. Konzo Martin. Chris Lowry, of course, was there from Kansas State. Man, they recruit this area hard. In terms of the Billikens, well, they're hanging in there with Love from CBC and Fletcher. They're concerned that Fletcher may be too big for them. Nicholas Kern, Vachon, wonderful talent too. His dad, of course, great player at Vachon. Corey Tate coached the father at Minnow Area. So keep an eye on that. This kid will be a good player. Slough has already offered a scholarship to both the 6'9" Africans from DeSmet. Slough has offered 3 scholarships to the kids at Melville already. Now, remember what a coach told me once, not a Slough coach, but he said, and this actually seems a little shady, but this is what happens. Sometimes you have to be politically correct and offer the hometown kid, but you actually don't want him to say yes. Boy, man, that is really a complicated profession, isn't it? So you're offering a kid a scholarship because he's in your hometown and he's a good player and everybody knows him, but inside, I don't want really him to say yes. How do you figure all this stuff out? But you want a big roster. I mean, Slough had a big roster in August, and now they got 7 scholarship players. All right, lap 4. The Blues. How will the goalie situation be handled in the next 3 games? You play tonight, Tampa Bay, then Saturday at 1, then Sunday at 11:30. Now, here's the thing. I think you have to play Jordan Binnington tonight. Then this weekend with a short turnaround, Saturday 1, Sunday 11:30, then you play Jake in one of those games. I don't think you can rationalize playing Jake tonight. I mean, Binnington's had good rest. Binnington, the guy, always wins. Is he 7-1, Brian? Let's get that stat. But Binnington must go tonight. Everybody agree out there? I'd love to get your thoughts. Maryville University listener line, 855-282-8255. Winning streak text line, that same number. Now, we've been wrong on this before. I remember there was a time like 3 weeks ago.
Been wrong. 7-1-1.
7-1-1. Does anybody think Jake Allen should start tonight besides Jake's family?
No.
Imagine the situation, too. Win tonight, they could be in the wild card. It's really a nice blend of the kids, the Vince Dunns, the Oscar Sundquist, the Binningtons, with the vets, even the stars. Everybody kind of on the same wavelength. Everybody playing well. Give Coach Craig Berube some credit. Who would have thought that as we approach the trade deadline, I think it's 10 days away now, that the Blues may even be adding? I mean, a month ago, we're thinking, boy, that trade deadline, they're just going to dismantle this team. Now, they won't do that probably. We'll see what happens in the next 10 days. A lot of things could happen. All right, lap 5. Moral to my story. Don't fall in love with a sports figure or Hollywood star because they're going to come crashing down. Of course, I loved Rick Pitino. Now he's a punching bag. And I really liked Liam Neeson. The line from Taken, one of the best of all time.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you're looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
So, he's got this new movie out, and I'm excited about it. I mean, I don't think I can get Monique to go, but, you know, an off day, slipping at 1 o'clock with a hat on. Yeah, I'd like to see it. But then, this comes out. These comments from his past, and this is just horrible.
I have an up and down areas with a cosh. Hoping I'd be approached by somebody. I'm ashamed to say that. And I did it for maybe a week, hoping some black bastard would come out of a pub and have a go at me about something, you know, so that I could kill him.
Whoops.
Now, first of all, nobody asked him to bring this up. He volunteers this information. Secondly, to have these thoughts. Wow. I mean, they canceled premieres for the movie. They canceled talk show appearances. This is a guy making $19 million a movie. And I can't picture a Hollywood producer in 6 months saying, hey, let's call Liam Neeson to be in our movie. I don't know how you see that movie now. I don't know. Let me ask both of you guys. If there is a person out there who is completely against everything you stand for, would that affect you actually going to see him or her perform at all? At all. Maybe slightly. You know what? That person's such a whack job. I don't care if he's that good or she's that great. I just can't support. And does that come into your mind a little bit?
It kind of depends, I guess, what topic. Politically, no. But I'm not going to see a Roman Polanski film. I'm probably not going to see a Woody Allen film because their actions do differ greatly from mine. But, like, I don't agree with James Woods, for instance. But if he has a movie that looks like, I'm not going to not see Casino because James Woods is in it, though. Just because I disagree with him politically.
All right.
It would all depend on how far away from the spectrum they are of reality as well, to where it becomes, James Woods is close, but I agree with you. I think I'm 100% on Brian. It does do a certain point for me, but I don't think I'll avoid seeing a really blockbuster movie because of one actor, unless his or her beliefs are completely egregious and totally opposite of what mine are, then maybe I'd consider that.
I think the greatest example of this in terms of Hollywood stars, and this person had one of the great careers in Hollywood history, but there's a percentage of people who would never, ever attend her films, and that would be Hanoi Jane Fonda, you know, with the Vietnam situation, especially if you're a vet. And she is an incredible actress, and, you know, in her prime, just absolutely gorgeous. But I could see how many vets, you know, when she's there with the enemy, some of the things she said, that would be tough. That would be very tough to stomach. What actor or actress out there, and I'd like to ask this question to everybody on the Winning Streak text line, 855-282-8255, the Maryville University listener line, 855-282-8255. What actor or actress, you know what? I just don't want to. Would it be James Woods or would it be Alec Baldwin? You know, you got it on both sides. Would it be Robert De Niro? Has De Niro's strong political
thoughts? Yeah, that's a close one for me, too, because of his anti-vaccine stuff. That, yeah, De Niro is borderline for me now. That's
a
tough
one. See, interesting. You say that because the anti-vaccine, other people are saying, is because of his hatred of Trump.
Oh, no, it's not that. I think he's – I have strong thoughts about anti-vaxxers.
Okay, now, lap six. I'm going to say the proposed rule change, and you say yes or no. Making the designated hitter universal across both leagues.
Yes.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm fine
with
that.
You got to make it even either way. Either you eliminate it completely or you give it to both sides.
All right, let's go through it fast. A rule requiring pitchers to face a minimum of three batters.
I'm against that.
I'm against it, too.
Way against it. How could Randy Choate pitch to three batters? You know?
Saw it. It was bad.
Yeah. A 20-second pitch clock to keep games moving.
I'm okay with
that. I'm fine
with
that.
I like it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I like it. A single trade deadline before the All-Star break.
I think it'd be fun. Yes.
Expand rosters to 26 players with a minimum of 12 pitchers. I love that.
Yeah, do it. Yeah.
The roster amount is fine. So
a reduction. So you're anti players making
money?
Yeah,
but I don't think it really matters.
You and Martin just pro owners.
Yeah, boy. You elite.
Anti labor.
Come on.
I bet you got one of those cameras. A reduction in mound visits from 6 to 5 per game?
Yeah.
Make it a little faster.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah.
Each half inning in extra innings would start with
no.
No,
you already lost.
I lived that for 5 years in grade school baseball.
No.
All right, that's the worst. Tweaks to the draft to reward winners and penalize losers?
No.
Now we're all
saying no. I guess I need more information about that, but I lean towards no on
the surface. No, you want the bad teams to get the higher pick.
Yeah.
All right, how about this? Permit two sport athletes to sign major league contracts.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a short time out. Chris Kerber, when we come back.